iTunes Store, and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Marguerite Calloway, and I'm calling her Maggie Calloway, and she is the co-founder and leader of Calloway Leadership Institute. We were just talking about mirror neurons, and that takes me then to another skill I know that you would say is very important in any leadership role, is empathy. That has to do with that mirroring neurons, that capacity we have. So let's talk about having empathy as a leader. How important is that?
Well, again, I want to continue to stay focused on constructive leadership, but I'm going to do it as a contrast to destructive leadership or exploitative leadership. And exploitative leadership are those individuals where it's all about them and it's all about winning. And if you're not on their side, they don't deserve to live, or they don't deserve to be in office, or they don't deserve to be in your room, et cetera, et cetera. But so these people are devoid of empathy. There is not the capacity. So what is empathy? At the core, one of the best ways to think about it is you have the capacity to step back and walk a mile in that other person's shoes. How is that person feeling? What's going on inside of them? And so effective leaders have strengthened and cultivated emotional intelligence. And so empathy is one of the core qualities of emotional intelligence. And in emotional intelligence, I'll just briefly, you know, there are the four qualities of emotional intelligence. The first one is self-awareness, which is what we've talked about, of being in touch with your own emotions. And then there's self-management. Again, it's emotional intelligence. It's not IQ, it's emotional intelligence. And then there is the whole notion of self-management. Here are my emotions. How do I manage my emotions? Those are the two personal competencies that people who are emotionally intelligent have. The second one, the social competencies. And people often talk about social awareness. And empathy is one of those qualities, the ability and the care to understand how that other person is feeling, how that other person is feeling, what are their emotions? And we're having to come to terms with this as we really try to create a more safe and fair and just environment. Is people get hurt without even, they're mindless in the way that they do hurt. There's intentional hurt, but there's a lot that is not. And so empathy is the capacity to actually have an appreciation of what the other person is. And I want to distinguish, which is really important, Justine, between empathy and sympathy. They come from two different words. Sympathy is pathos, okay? Pathos, which is a word for pity, okay? You can watch somebody else and have pity for them, as opposed to empathy. Empathetic is, oh, I can appreciate how they're feeling. That's an important distinction. And then the fourth quality is relationship management. And you need social awareness, you need self-management, self-awareness to be effective in your relationships. And at the end of the day, leadership, authentic leadership, is about relationships, okay? It's all about, how do I relate to others? How do I influence others? How do I do this? It's moving beyond the notion of I can use brute force. Because the truth is, we know where brute force leads us. If you don't like the person or don't agree with a particular point of view, we go into conflict, and at the end of the day, I'm going to kill you before you kill me, kind of thinking, and so forth. And we've got to move beyond that view of how do we resolve conflict? How do we resolve disagreements as you go forward? So empathy is just one of the most critical qualities that authentic leaders develop and cultivate. And one of the most important ways of doing that is recognizing and accepting the variety of human beings that there are in the world. As I've said before, I've had the opportunity of working in numerous places and numerous cultures. And what I have learned is, underneath the culture, there is still the same human being. As Rick Hansen says, the neuropsychologist, we all have the same brain. But how it's developed and cultivated over time is
Right.
something that is different. Does that?
Oh, absolutely. Several times you've mentioned something about safety in a group. And you mentioned conflict. And I know there we are all learning to be aware of our microaggressions, you know, how we might step into the fray and say something and it offends someone else. And in a recent interview with Omkari Williams, we were talking about this, and she used the term, instead of talking about being inclusive with our group, she said, it's about belonging to our group. Do you feel the difference? I'm going to include you in my group, or I want you to belong in my group. And that's what I think you are alluding to when you talk about safety in a group situation.
Well, yes. And I think, again, with inclusive, well, you're sitting in the room, but that doesn't mean I'm actually paying attention to you. I've checked the box to say, well, I have a variety of diverse individuals, but do I feel included in that? And so as we're growing an understanding of how we create safe environments and so forth, there has to be a sense of belonging. I can be myself as I fit in. Now, let's make the assumption that that person also is not trying to do harm, okay?
Right.
Is also not trying to do harm. But that requires, again, very strong emotional intelligence. And it's an interpersonal skill of an openness of, well, you're different than me. You don't talk the way I talk. You don't look the way I look. You don't speak much of the same language. But if you begin with the assumption, but we're all human beings, and that I know in my absolute deepest part of my heart, is we're all human beings. What is it that we can discover among ourselves? And that creates an environment of inclusive belonging. Is not only am I in the room, but I'm actually actively participating in it, because I'm not going to be put down or shut down if I have a differing point of view. And see, that's another thing that I can tell you about leadership, is it requires courage. It requires a lot of courage to be able to sit back. First and foremost, I don't know all the answers, but I believe that we can get there. But you also need to have a vision of, here's where we're trying to get to. That's part of leadership, is where are we going? What are we doing? I mean, as you and I were preparing for this interview, you gave me some guidelines. Here's where I want to go with this interview. Knowing that you know my work so well, but you knew who your audience is and what do I need to bring forward. So having a clear vision of where are we headed, that's something that people need during this incredible time of uncertainty, of where the heck are we going with all the craziness. And you know that so much of going on is being fed, let's be afraid, let's withdraw, let's give up, let's do all of those other things. And so again, a critical quality of leadership is courageousness of and a belief that we can get where we need to go by including a much larger group of perspectives and individuals, which then, Justine, leads to another concept. And I know you've also covered this with your physicists and others, is we have complicated problems, but then we have complex problems. Now, complicated problems actually can be looked at because you can take apart the parts, and they're kind of like engineering problems. Like, guess what? I don't quite have my timer turned on, but you can figure out the timer. That's a technical solution but it's not complex. Complex are, whether you want to talk about the challenges of the climate, whether you want to talk about political divisions, these are complex issues. And a single point of view does never solve it. You've got to have multiple perspectives. And when you have created a safe environment where every idea is respected, doesn't mean you have to agree with it. then all of a sudden you start creating new opportunities. Well, I didn't look at it that way. And that's what we're needing to do so much, Justine, right now, is we've got to come up with new solutions, not the old way of doing, because as I said, patterns in our interview you and I did quite a while ago.
Maybe yes, we did.
6 or 7 years ago, patterns break down. Well, guess what? Our patterns are breaking down. They're pretty broke down. Nothing's working the way it used to work, whether that's our water quality or whether that's whatever it is. How do we step forward and embrace the uncertainty? And that is where leadership comes in.
I see what you're saying. And that reminds me, as you say, it's complex. And it to live in what seems like the chaos of complexity, but everything is kind of interrelated. This leads to the need, I believe, in productive conversations, I'll call them. And so I'd like to ask you, how do we step into productive conversations? You know, not just spinning our wheels, so to speak. Help us to know, how can I help my group to have a productive conversation?
Well, that's so interesting that you bring that up, because I just finished, as you know, I do a lot of online teaching, not only in my own on my own website, but also with some of the organizations where I'm a teacher, is I've just dealt a whole lot with dealing with constructive conflict and constructive conflict resolution. And one of the first steps that you need to come forward with this is, first of all, get to where are we trying to get to? Get to a positive statement, not a negative statement. Is if you can, at the very beginning, have a useful conversation of what is it that we're trying to, what's the problem we're trying to solve? So you begin with a vision. As I said, we don't know how we're going to get there, but let's get to what's the problem we're trying to solve. And then you can start including different perspectives around that. But there's an endpoint, a positive endpoint that you're getting to. So that's item number one.
That's an agreed upon common goal that we're all committing to. So that's helpful. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Well, I'll use a very simple one. Maybe one of the goals is to have more productive meetings, because everybody's in meetings all the time. Okay.
Right.
Can we have more productive meetings? And people will sit back and say, yeah, I'd like that too. And then you can start listing out who are the individuals who need to buy into that. Okay.
Right.
And those become the stakeholders. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And then you get down to what are their perspectives, and where do we go with that? And then you get to very quickly, what is our shared interest? And all of a sudden you've opened the conversation and you'll come up with creative ideas.
Exactly. I want to continue with this point because it's such a good one. I'm here with Marguerite Calloway. She is the co-founder and leader of the Calloway Leadership Institute. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Marguerite Calloway, and we're talking about leadership, everyday leadership. And we were just talking about how we can help people to feel and to belong to a group, not just feel it. How do we become belongers to a group? And in that way, you said it's best to find a mutual goal or outcome that we all align with, and that's helpful. Is there anything else you want to say about that belonging to a group?
Yeah. So now the other critical thing is now I'm going to start weaving together introversion and extroversion and self-contained and not. Is remember what I said was that one of the things Barack Obama always did was whenever he was dealing with a difficult issue, he would, whatever the meeting was, whether it was a cabinet meeting, whether it was the national security, he made sure that every person's point of view was on the table. And they knew that going into the meeting. And so you don't have to do that, but let's take this as an example of let's have more productive meetings. Some people will say, yes, we want that. But then when you get to the next issue, if you're trying to generate ideas, you need to make sure, well, what are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about that? And so you're starting to shift away from complaining about a problem to starting to generate ideas. And I'm using that one as an example because I can tell you, that has come up as a point of interpersonal conflict a lot.
Yes.
We're wasting our time. Why are we doing what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And so when you go through and you start including the other individuals, and it's as simple as writing it down. There's no idea that's a stupid idea. Let's us figure out our goal is to generate possibility as opposed to coming to the perfect solution. And then all of a sudden you're going to come up. And what are you building? You're building mutualist understanding across the group as a whole. Oh, well, that's an idea. I never thought she had anything to say. My goodness, look at this as you come forward. And I'm going to continue on with that. That as an example is I've watched how things will come. Well, guess what? I just now that we're everything's on Zoom, I just run from one meeting to the next meeting to the next meeting. And so one possible suggestion was, well, maybe our meeting should only be 50 minutes long, not an hour long. Okay, that's number one. Number two, maybe we need to send out an agenda in advance so people know what the meeting is for. Number three, maybe we need to question, do we need this meeting? You know, I mean, do you see, I'm using very simple examples. That's why that's a relevant one, because we all can relate to that, is you're generating possibilities. You're generating possibilities and ideas. And then you've got a whole richness of people with this. And you as the leader can say, well, maybe we can do a vote. How many people we think we should do that? At the end of the day, you need to be making it. But you've shifted the dynamics of everybody sitting around protecting their ideas and protecting themselves. And that's the notion of psychological safety. Psychological safety, it's been shown again and again, is it's when you feel that you will not be criticized or punished if you make a mistake, or you won't be belittled because of your ideas. This is all moving beyond microaggression and so forth to into a much more constructive way of looking at that. And so part of what a leader is able to do is to create an environment where it's safe to learn. Okay. And what did I say? We're facing really complicated things and we have to learn. Well, you're not going to take a risk if you don't think it's safe. You're not going to try something new if you don't think it's safe. And so that's another key component to it.
I know you mentioned early on something about the two kinds of problems, you know, the ones that can be fixed, like just, okay, we just need another part. And complexity, and what was the other word you used?
Well, the one is the complicated problems.
Complicated.
Tend to be complicated problems. You can kind of see the way, and those are the ones that we can just fix. The complex ones are, we don't know what the answer is, and they have to have multiple perspectives to come up with.
I want to ask something about that, because I had, this is about staying in the landscape of the complexity of a problem. This is about trying to go to a quick fix. Like, I know for myself, I did that one time, and I was part of a board, and it was a complex problem. And I said, oh, here's what we should do. We should just all divide up into different groups and do this and come back to the group and give our suggestions. And somebody in the group said to me, well, Justine, that's a good idea, but I haven't really felt like we have stayed in the landscape of the complexity of the problem. I don't understand enough about the problem yet to come to any sort of solution yet. And I learned a lot from that, Maggie, in that moment, because it reminded me of how in my thinking and in maybe in our culture in general here in the U.S., that we jump to quick fixes without understanding the full complexity of the problem.
Oh, it definitely does. And guess what? Sometimes it's really good to have complicated problems that we can take some early wins with. You're trying to build confidence around some of that as it goes forward. But the truth is, I don't care what the issues are that we're facing, they're not easy. What does education in the future look like? How do we deal with the huge number of unhoused people in a market? You know, I mean, what are we doing with all the warring that's going on in the world and so forth? And these are complex sets of issues, but they're interrelated. And I think that part of what so much of good leadership is acknowledging your own humanity. It's a combination, for my word, of we don't know the answer yet, but I believe we can get there if we can listen to each other and be creative in our solutions. And I do believe we're needing to come up with creative solutions, because our old solutions always create unintended consequences. And that's one of the problems, Justine, about a quick fix, is you get to an answer, but you haven't looked at what are the trade-offs.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to do this. I didn't. And then you've just aggravated the problem as it goes forward. And I just think that's what we're in the process of working through as a culture, as a society. It's a global set of issues.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
One of the things that I want to say about New Dimensions, because I am familiar with your remarkable courses and programs, is I believe that part of what New Dimensions is able to do and has done for over 50 years, that's a half a century, Justine, that's a half a century, is the depth and range of the topics that you cover. And you cover topics of everything from philosophy to religion, to practicality, to health, whatever. There's a full range of that. But one of the things that you do, because you've done a lot of the interviews and you know the body, is you tend to synthesize. And I think you and I were talking about, what is it that a good leader has is the capacity to synthesize a variety of perspectives. And synthesize is one word, but I think the other word was comprehensive. And so if we can accept that there are multiple dimensions and that we're going to not get to an easy solution, but we can work our way forward and we're going to learn as we go what's working and what's not. That's the other thing that I've learned, is having pilots as opposed to betting the whole farm makes a whole lot of sense. Let's try this first. Okay.
Yeah. Great. You know, and I want to go into here, as we're coming to the end of our conversation here, which is just so rich, is the idea of deep listening. And that's part of the whole ball game, isn't it? So how can we become more skillful deep listeners?
Well, and one of the things that I've done over the course of my teaching and the course of my coaching others is I try to use evidence, so it's not just my opinion. And so there's very good evidence that our capacity to listen has gone down, not up. And one of the reasons as to why is we're distracted all the time. We have short attention spans, all of those other aspects. And so what I talk about is active listening. And you can't do active listening all of the time, because it requires, it's a learned skill, But there are five components to active listening. And those are, first of all, turn down the mindless chatter. Our mind does not like to be quiet. It loves to be distracted over and over and over again. Turn down that mindless chant. Just know that it's there. And get familiar with your listening habits. Do you cut people off? Do you tune out when you get bored? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, we communicate, even though you do everything on audio, we are primarily a visual being, okay? We as human beings, at least in modern day. And so you need to recognize that it's how you say the words, not just it's the tone of voice that you say. And so when you can, if you're having a serious conversation, try to have it by looking at one another, because we talk with so much more than just our words. All right. Number three, don't interrupt. Number four is give feedback. This is what you said, not just don't jump into problem solving. And number five, acknowledge that other person is worth listening to.
Oh, thank you so much. You really got that all in a nutshell. That was wonderful. I want to thank you, Maggie, for being with us today. I've been here with Maggie Calloway, and she is the co-founder and leader of Calloway Leadership, and that's her website. You can find her on CallowayLeadership.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3805.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Robert Fuller, author of Questions and Quests. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about question asking, human dignity, and artificial intelligence.
It's March, and you know what that means. It's les rendezvous de la francophonie.
Check out rvf.ca to discover all the activities and contests happening across Canada.
Do you like music or do you like technology? Or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.
You're tuned in.